What's the name of this fungus among us?
Anthracnose.
Anthracnose, yeah. Okay.
It's very common in maples. Typically, when we have a really wet spring and then there's still a dry period while it's still spring, you have the newly emerging leaves on the maple tree that come out. And early in the spring, they look really fine. And then there's a hot, dry, maybe wet spell for a bit. And those leaves are the ones that get the anthracnose. And then after that, they have some average weather when they're still growing and they don't have it. So if your leaves on your trees, maples and sycamores and other trees, look a little bit distorted, it's nothing to worry about. It happens almost every year here, really. Mm. And it affects a lot of the species of the maple tree. The Japanese maple is susceptible. And if anything, if it's not the leaf anthracnose, it's the wind tatter.
It'll get you.
When it gets 50 miles an hour, the leaves tend to flutter in the breeze a bit, and it gets what we call tatter. The edges of the leaves are torn and so on.
Boy.
And it happens to redbud trees. Redbud trees are susceptible to leaf anthracnose as well. It's nothing serious. It's more of an appearance issue. So it's not too much to worry about. However, I did run across a house yesterday. We got a call and wanted me to come look at a tree, and it was a shantung maple. And it was completely just dead. And I shook the trunk and... It's really wet, and shantung maple is very drought tolerant. So it had a bad case of root rot.
Yeah.
And this house was on a hill, and... as typically goes, our rocks are laying in the horizontal associations. And the water goes through the ground, and then it hits this impermeable membrane known as rock and clay and shale. And then it rides along that, and it exits to the point where the developer cut the rock layers, and the water oozes out. And this is what happened over here, is all the stored up water sinks into the ground, and then it oozes along, and it hits this impermeable layer, then it runs... It tries to find the quickest way out. And water built up and filled in this nice little hole that was was planted, and rotted away the roots. So watch out for that, too.
It can happen.
Try not to confuse leaf anthracnose with too much water. Typically, too much water, the surface of the ground is wet. There's a lot of green algae typically on the surface. And the tree has a little bit of a wiggle to it when it shouldn't really have a little bit of a wiggle. If you do encounter, and I also went to another house out in Osage, they had the same problem with some plants that were experiencing that. You break up the soil around it, let it breathe a little bit so the roots can have some air. Roots do respire, as do we, and they need oxygen. And if they're in an anaerobic situation, they basically die, and they rot, and the top of the plant rot because it can't get water up to the top. So anyway... And compaction also occurs a lot when we have a great deal of rain. The clay shrinks and swells with the moisture and the dryness, and it compacts. So just kind of keep the soil loose if you do have standing water around your house and you got shrubs in there, just kind of
work the dirt.
Kind of work it a little bit. And a lot of people's floor elevation of the house is so low that you really can't prepare and fluff up and raise the soil that much. The first thing you want to do in your house is protect your investment. You know, forget about the hydrangeas. You know, I don't want my floors to get ruined. So you got to make sure that the water runs effectively away from the house. So anyway, that's kind of what's going on. We're in that transition when we've had a lot of rain and we've had some loss of root systems. And now some of the plants are showing some stress. And secondarily, though, in association with the change of seasons and so on, there's an exponential increase in the amount of
bagworms.
Yeah, we're getting some bagworms real bad around people's houses. And golly, I was at a house and they had some arborvitaes. And the population increase of these little boogers is somewhat exponential.
Boom, 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 boom.
Yeah, if you understand an exponential curve and so on.
Yeah, there's
a lot of that.
There's a lot of multiplying going on.
And that and the spider mites are on your dwarf Alberta spruce. We're getting a lot of spider mites, and we're getting a lot of bagworms on the arborvitaes and a lot of spider mites also on boxwoods.
How do we control them?
We have a product at the nursery called Spinazad, and it is under the name of Captain Jack's Dead Bug.
I like that. That's good marketing right there.
Yeah, that's a good marketing right there.
You want to kill them? Yeah, get some dead bugs.
Captain Jack's dead bug. It's a spinazad, which is a blend of spinazin A and spinazin B. Or it's either A or C. I don't remember which one it is. But anyway, and they work together to do a very good job, somewhat organically, too. Spinazin was a bacterial fungus found in a rum factory in Jamaica, I think it was. Mm-hmm. And this is a particular bacteria had an effect on killing bugs. So, hey, we got something here. Ooh, yeah.
Sell this.
Yeah, the size of rum, yeah. A good byproduct here.
We can make a mint.
So through the laboratory tests and all that and all that, they've come up with this one that's very effective against insects. It also does a good job of controlling borers, or the old-fashioned remedy, not old-fashioned, but the previous remedy for borers was lindane. Lindane is an aromatic type fungus or insecticide that, through vapors, you spray the trunk with it, and it would vaporize the little guys in there.
Wow!
So this works microbically.
Them bugs going now, man.
So that is an effect, and what I like about it is it works across the board for mites and other insects and bagworms and things. So it because of that, you don't have to have this for this and this for that and that for this and this for that.
You got a broad use.
This is one that does it all. So you might consider getting that. And I've seen some junipers, also the Taylor junipers. There's some at the entrance to Stonebridge along Silver Lake Road. Their junipers are starting to get bagworms pretty bad, so they need to do something about that. So anybody listening need to spray that. those bagworms are getting pretty bad. So that's all the badness coming on.
Got any good news for us, Larry?
Good news, the tomatoes are doing very well. It's time to cut off the dead stalks from the iris if you haven't yet done so yet. Time to apply some mulch. We have a brand new truck, and this is so exciting. We get a new truckload of mulch, and we get all excited at the nursery.
Well, you guys sell a lot of it.
And we opened up a few bags of it and spread it around, and really, really nice, fine textured stuff. It's a cedar. Mm-hmm. It's a cedar mulch. This is Texas cedar.
Okay.
It doesn't smell as good as Missouri cedar or Oklahoma cedar. It still has some smell to it, but not as strong. But anyway, it's a very effective mulch. Mm-hmm. I opened up a bag and spread it around in the garden, and it looks really nice. A good uniform texture is kind of what everybody's looking for.
Good
weed control, and the aroma or aromatic tendency of the cedar does have a way to keep bugs away too. Ants don't like it. So you might consider getting some mulch. It's a good time to top that off. Looks like we've got some rain, maybe rain coming today, and it'll help hold that rain under your shrubs if you do an effective layer of mulch.
Looks like we got a thin band that's going to drape across here before too long.
Yeah. So, okay. So that's kind of with the mulch. And, we did get some new our potting soil finally came. We've had this stuff on order since March, and it finally showed up.
Oh, my.
So the Pro Mix is in these big, giant 3-cubic-foot bags.
Mm-hmm.
It's the best deal in potting. If you need a lot of it, it's the best deal going, because you get a whole lot for $20, and it you can do a lot of potting with that.
It'll take care of you.
What it is, it's a good lightweight soil.
Okay.
And it doesn't compact. You get some of the cheapo brands of potting soil. It's primarily just shredded pine bark, and it over time it compacts, and you have health issues with your plants. You want something that stays nice and loose over time. This has some perlite in it. It helps it breathe, a little bit of vermiculite, some peat moss, and some fertilizers and stabilizers and whatnot in it. So it takes on water real well with some surfactants. So you want to get this if you're really serious about the health of your house plants and tomatoes and things. You might want to get some of this. I guess word got around. We just sold a whole pallet of it one day.
And it was down.
Yeah, so we've got a lot of that on hand, too. So.
We're going to take a quick break. And along our network lines, I want to remind you that we're going to take a 3-minute timeout. We'll be back after this.
Hello, this is Tim from United Rentals. United Rentals is an excellent place for the do-it-yourself type of person. We do a lot of post-hole diggers. We rent for the weekend. We rent a mini track hoe. They've kind of taken the place of a backhoe. You can pull them behind a 3/4-ton truck. People like to take them home, whether they're putting in water lines, they're putting in French drains, digging up tree stumps. That's one of the most common things that we rent, and they're easy to operate. You can give us a call at United Rentals, 918-333-9580.
It's no wonder Green Thumb Nursery and Greenhouses is home to Bartlesville's largest selection of quality plants, as they have new inventory arriving weekly, including new shipments of hibiscus, shrubs, annuals, perennials, and tropical plants, too. And now, every Wednesday through June is discount day. Get 10% off any regular priced item. So come see what's new at Green Thumb Nursery and Greenhouses on Nowata Road, Bartlesville's largest selection of quality plants and more. Open Monday through Saturday, 9 to 5, noon to 5, Sunday.
I'm Wendy Stearman, and I'm running for the Oklahoma House of Representatives. As a true conservative, I believe that life is precious and the right to life should be protected at all stages. I believe that our right to own and carry firearms should not be infringed. As a mom, I believe in family values and parental rights. I will stand for truth. We need a representative who will represent the interests of the people, not the interests of government. I am one of the people, and I will listen. I will represent you. Authorized and paid for by Stearman for House 2020.
Don't paint yourself in a corner. Call LPL Painting and Company, professionally painting in the Bartlesville area for 20 plus years. All finishes, all surfaces, perfection corner to corner. You'll find their portfolio online or on Facebook. LPL Painting and Company, that's LPL Painting and Company. Fully insured, offering free estimates. Just call 918-214-1999 for consult and estimate.
Back with another Free Market Minute. I'm John Tidwell. Last week, we sat down with Governor Kevin Stitt and asked his thoughts on State Question 802. We asked the governor if he was supporting a plan to put Medicaid into our state's constitution and how he plans to vote.
State Question 802 is not good for Oklahoma. I'm going to be voting no on State Question 802.
Stitt also cites concerns over next year's budget shortfall.
You know, this is going to cost our state $200 million, okay? The only way to get that, we have a $1 billion shortfall next year. The only way to get $200 million is either to raise taxes or to cut services somewhere else, like education or our first responders or roads and bridges.
Stitt believes to fund State Question 802, the legislature could have to cut core services or possibly even tax hikes.
As governor, I'm not going to raise taxes on Oklahomans. And so then you're looking at having to cut other services. That's not good for Oklahoma.
For more information, visit votenoa802.com. Authorized and paid for by Vote No on 802 Association, 3307 South Harvard Avenue, Tulsa, Oklahoma, 74135, 405-638, 4557.
Oh, good morning and welcome back to the Green Country Gardener Program with Larry Glass. I'm Tom Davis. Our phone lines are open if you've got a question or a comment at 1-800-749-5936. That is 1-800-749-5936. A toll-free call. How you doing there, Larry? What do we got going on?
Pretty good. Stuff on sale, 30% off. We have grapes, blueberries, figs, blackberries, and yesberries. These are fruit-producing plants that you can plant in your garden. They're on sale right now, 30% off.
Wow.
That's kind of fun. One of my employees brought home a blueberry plant. He's just covered in blueberries, so. So he maybe got them from Mars. I don't know. But anyway, so those are on sale. Our six-pack annuals, normally regular $18.99. They're $6 off a flat. So that's kind of a deal. You get like 30% off on that. And the 10-inch hibiscus baskets. Those are hibiscus baskets. Get it out.
Say that 7 times.
Yeah, really. Hibiscus baskets are on sale for they're regularly $29.99. They're 30% off too. And the mandevilla on trellis, 10-inch. Those big plants. They're 30% off. So mandevillas make a really big show basically all summer long. They're very heat tolerant. And these tube-shaped pink and red flowers on them are really very attractive. So you might consider getting some of that if you have a trellis or something you want to put something on. That'll give you color for the rest of the summer. Pretty cool plants. But anyway, annuals are really a very vital part of the landscape. On my designs, I always add little spaces here and there for some annuals. because they kind of brighten things up real well. And, of course, the primary goal in a landscape is to make sure it looks good all year round, too. So you do want some hardy shrubs in your landscape design, and also leave room for some annuals. And you can plant pansies in the place of the petunias and the periwinkles and whatnot mm-hmm. in the fall and have some color basically all winter long. So that's kind of the deal with annuals right now. Be sure to prepare the soil real well. They don't grow in the hard soil. If you have a hard time getting your shovel in the ground, you might get some compost as well.
Yeah. It's a good sign that you might need it.
When we do our landscapes, we apply a significant amount of compost to the soil.
Mm-hmm.
And there's some variables in that depending on the existing soil and the drainage and so on. So sometimes we add a little bit more. Sometimes we don't have to add any, really. Mm-hmm. But anyway, our soil here just needs a little bit of help. I mean, really, when it's been growing hackberries and Johnson grass for 10 million years, there's not much to it. So you need to add a little bit of soil here and there. So that's what we do. Perennials is always time to plant perennials in really good soil, too, so some ground prep is needed on those.
Mm-hmm.
The daylilies are in bloom right now. The hardy hibiscus are starting to bloom. The hardy hibiscus are the variety of hibiscus that have this rather large bloom on them. And we carry the variety with red leaves and red flowers. It blooms pretty much all throughout the right about now into the summer, about when the crepe myrtles begin to bloom. And we also do have a good selection of crepe myrtles, about any color you might want, except yellow.
Except for yellow.
You can't get a yellow or a blue crepe myrtle. Yeah. I'm sure they're working on it. But they're very reliable, heat-tolerant plants. And we carry some of the Dr. Wickham varieties that are rather resistant to mildew. Okay. Mildew can be a problem on a crepe myrtle if it's planted close to a house or in an area where there's not good air drainage, but it might be rather hot, and the mold and stuff just loves that kind of environment.
Likes to creep on the crepes.
Kind of like the inside of my boots, you know. Somewhat anaerobic and still air and all that, and they get mildew. But they've come up with some that don't have that. So. Uh-huh. So anyway, trees also, we've got a good selection of trees. We're just planting trees left and right now, so good time to plant those too. Important thing on the trees is to water them generally when the soil dries out, and pick out the right tree for the right place. I said, well, how do I do that? Well, how far is it? How big a space do you have? What's your address?
Maybe we can start there.
Google Earth it and find out. Well, you don't have enough room for a northern red oak. No.
That's not going to work.
Let's go with something a little smaller maybe. So, but we can advise on that if you kind of tell us.
And don't plant that tree so close to your house or your driveway, you'll pay for it.
I was at a house yesterday, and there was a river birch planted 3 feet away from the house. Yeah. No, you don't do that. They belong down in the river somewhere. It looked really nice. The tree was in its peak.
Yeah.
So the barking, the branching structure and the bark on it was very appealing looking. Had a really nice look to it. So it's in its peak and it's not causing any problems yet, but it will someday. So anyway, so there are other plants you can plant in that situation that don't do that. So.
No.
But anyway, pick out the tree, select your tree very carefully, and ask how big does this tree get? What's the eventual size of this tree? How fast does it grow? All these other things. What kind of litter does it drop? All trees drop some trash and litter and whatnot.
Mm-hmm. That's just what they do.
Yeah, they have seeds and flowers and things, and they drop that. So there's usually some drawbacks. So you pick the one that has the least amount of problems. Probably the ultimate tree would be what we call an urbanite ash. It does nothing.
Does nothing?
It just grows. But they're slow. They're very slow to grow. Mm-hmm. They have a very dense canopy to them. Mm-hmm. And if it weren't for the emerald ash borer, we'd probably sell a lot more of them.
They find them tasty?
Yeah, very tasty, yes. And they're kind of an urban tree. They like the...
like the city lights.
The city life for a while, yes. But they do have a tendency to get... emerald, and the emerald ash borer is kind of moving this way, so
yeah,
we don't really have any ash trees for sale at the nursery, probably because of that.
Yeah.
So other than that, a ginkgo tree, a male ginkgo tree,
mm-hmm.
they're probably one of the most desirable trees you can have in the landscape, because they really don't trashing thing, and the leaves just kind of fall all at once.
Yeah, they do. So yeah. I had one like November 1. Hey, look at that. Yeah, yeah. Foomp.
Foomp is a good word, yes.
And they just all came down overnight.
Yeah, so those are, and I've really, there's some really nice ginkgo trees in town.
Yeah, there are.
Really nice, yeah. And I've seen some growing in terrible, absolutely awful rocky soil.
Yeah.
Some growing in really good soil. Mm-hmm. And they all seem to do equally as well.
Pretty durable.
And what I like about them is the strength in the storms and the lack of diseases. They have no diseases. Mm-hmm. I mean, these have been around since the Cretaceous period.
Mm-hmm. That's a long time.
So that's a long time to evolve and develop resistance to everything but a brontosaurus.
So. Ever since they stopped using them for a salad bar, it's been,
yeah, really.
Been pretty smooth.
So you might. Yeah. So, but it, unfortunately, though, it's a rather slow-growing tree.
Yeah, it takes a while to get
to. A little while to get there. So if you're new to town, you have plans on staying here, and you want a tree, you might consider getting a ginkgo tree.
20, 30 years, looking pretty darn good.
Well, not even that. In about 10 years.
10,
It starts to make a pretty good tree. Yeah. So, and another one of my favorite trees would be maybe the water oak.
Mm-hmm.
And I like it because of its relatively small leaf and really very small acorn. And its strong branching habit and so on. The only weakness is it tends to get scale insects. And the imidacloprid will take care of that. So.
Okay. And you got that at the store.
Yeah, we got it at the store. Yeah, it's just a once-a-year thing. But they don't, and the catkins in the spring. Catkins are the male parts.
Okay.
And they tend to really this year they just covered the ground. I mean, I just blew them into the beds and they made a little bit of a mulch. Now they're just decomposed, they're gone. But anyway, that's probably the only drawback. And they do have a little quarter-inch acorn, too. All right. But I haven't seen any acorns this year. I think we escaped that. We've had a cold spell. Not only did it ruin my fruit crop, but it stopped my oak tree from having acorns.
Acorn production, too.
Yeah, so... So the trees have their positive sides. They have their negative sides. And really, on any tree, what you want to do is make sure to be aware of your drainage patterns in the yard. Some of the yards have a very critical drainage pattern, less than 1% on slope. And you don't want to plant a tree in the middle of that drainage pattern because it will cause backups. And then when it rains, you'll have to open the front and the back door to let the water through.
So, oh, my.
Make sure your drainage patterns are preserved. Mm-hmm. And if you need some help, I can consult and come over to your house. And we can pick a spot where a tree will work. And if it's close to the house, we pick a smaller tree. And if it's away from the house, we can pick a larger tree. But not in the drainage patterns.
No, it's not going to work.
Exactly.
All right, let's take a quick break, and we're going to be back after this two-minute timeout.
Looking for adventure? Head to the Kansas City Zoo and travel the world as you explore thousands of animals from across the globe. Get nose-to-nose with great apes, big cats, giraffes, penguins, and many more. Check out the newly renovated elephant exhibition. Open now. View animals from the sky aboard the African Sky Safari. Kansas City Zoo is open daily. Visit kansascityzoo.org for more information and a calendar of events.
Washington County Sheriff Scott Owen.
As Sheriff of Washington County, my goal is to provide the best law enforcement and crime prevention possible for Washington County and its citizens while cooperatively working with all the other law enforcement agencies in the cities, county, and the state of Oklahoma, as well as the federal officers. We also intend to continue supporting the tribal police departments and assisting with the Cherokee and Osage Nation anytime we need to.
Leadership, guidance, trust. Elect Sheriff Scott Owen.
I'm Ted Locken. I endorse and encourage your vote for Scott Owen for Sheriff of Washington County. A few of the reasons I endorse Scott pertaining to his ideal background performance record and overall knowledge of his duties. Scott blends his experience with a personality and caring attitude that has earned him respect throughout the county. Join me on June 30th to elect Scott Owen.
Authorized and paid for by Friends of Scott Owen 2020.
Peters True Value in Dewey has these June bargains of the month. Water your plants and lawn well with a 50-foot Never Kink Green Thumb hose for $14.99. Get a True Temper 6-cubic foot wheelbarrow for $59.99. Treat your yard with Roundup Bug Destroyer granules. A 10-pound bag is just $9.99 after a $3 instant in-store rebate. And Peters has buy any gallon of Easy Care Ultra Premium Paint, Easy Care Platinum Paint, or Easy Care Woodsman Exterior Stain. Get a 3-pack Best Brush Set for free. That's Peters True Value in Dewey.
Good morning and welcome back to the Green Country Gardener Program. Our phone line is 1-800-749-5936. And your chance to talk to Larry, our expert. And of course, I'm Tom, the guy that just kind of fiddles around here. We're going to take a little walk through the lawn now, aren't we?
Right. Lawns, it's time to raise that mower up pretty much all the way right now.
Yeah, that's a good idea.
And your grass can transpire better that way.
Ooh, what does that mean? Transpire.
Breathe.
It's a teleporter. No. Transpiration is the cooling process mm-hmm. of the grass. Mm-hmm. And the more surface area you have exposed to the atmosphere, the better the evapotranspiration rates are, and your grass stays a bit cooler, more cool on your toes that way.
Oh, good.
So you want to keep it a little bit high right now. You got a caller?
We probably will.
Maybe I saw that little thing blinking. Oh, yeah. Never mind. Okay.
Yeah, we do. Let's go for it. Hi, good morning. Welcome. You're on the air.
Hey, appreciate it, taking my call.
Yeah.
I've got a fairly large, older cottonwood tree, and I don't know what you call them, but looks like a leprechaun just walked around and drilled holes all through it. It's pretty bad. I mean, there's sawdust everywhere.
Was my goodness.
And they've really hammered it, and it's kind of, it's dying.
Sounds like
there's anything I can do to save it.
It sounds like somebody got a new drill and was trying it out.
I'm telling you, it's unbelievable. I mean, they're just everywhere.
Are the holes in a pattern of any kind?
Not really.
Okay,
they're kind of sporadic.
Sounds like
and then
got,
the bark's falling off, and then they're really getting into the soft wood where the bark's missing.
You got some flathead boards, it sounds like.
Okay, but they're really, it's bad.
Yeah, they can get aggressive like that. It's rather odd, though.
Yeah.
It's not the typical time when they do that, but I guess there might have been a bit due to the cool spring, maybe a bit of a time delay on their startup, and they're really in a hurry to get nested in there.
Yeah.
So you can try a topical application of spinosad to control them. That's about all you can really do at this point.
What's it called?
Captain Jack's Dead Bug.
Captain Jack's Dead Bug?
Yeah, it's a brand name.
It's a brand name for spinosad.
Captain Jack's? Really, you're not kidding me.
I'm not kidding. No, we have it at the nursery. It's a
works
blend.
Great.
It's a blend of spinosad A and spinosad D, I think, or B or B or D or whatever, and it's a effective topical application against borers.
How do you apply it through a bug spray? I mean,
yeah,
a through pump sprayer.
Through sprayer.
Or something, or?
You want if you have a hosen sprayer? It sounds like it's a fairly large tree. A hosen sprayer will.
Oh, it's big. This thing's big.
Yeah, it'll really put a big. Lot of it on there. And hopefully you can save the tree. Fortunately, though, cottonwood trees are fairly fast growing and it should heal up fairly quickly. Another thing, this is what I do at home. I just follow them with a pocket knife and dig them out. Or maybe you can stick them.
I mean, they're in there.
Yeah.
You can find them in there.
Yeah. If you follow the trails, you can find them.
Well, another thing. Well, they take me all summer. I mean, there's hundreds of holes.
They found that one magically delicious. You know, leprechaun bug.
So you might consider a spray application to help control those. So
yeah, I got to do some because it's big and it's a good shade tree, but it's every year it gets worse.
Yeah. Oh. Well, as they get older and weaker, they find them a bit more appetizing. So
yeah.
So okay. Perhaps.
Well, we'll give that a try.
All right, give her a shot.
Appreciate
see if there's not much else you can do at this point.
Ask for it by name,
yeah.
Captain Jack's Dead Bug.
That's a good name, yeah.
Okay.
All right, thanks for calling.
I'll sure remember that.
All right.
Good advice. You guys are good. I listen to you every Saturday.
Oh, good. Thank you for listening.
Okay.
All right, and that leaves a line open for you at 1-800-749-3936.
We also have it in another one, but this is just good marketing, I think. People can remember that.
Yeah.
And so.
Indeed. Let's take a quick time out. We'll be back with more right here on the Green Country Gardener Program with Larry Glass and me, Tom Davis, after this two-minute timeout.
It's no wonder Green Thumb Nursery and Greenhouses is home to Bartlesville's largest selection of quality plants, as they have new inventory arriving weekly, including new shipments of hibiscus, shrubs, annuals, perennials, and tropical plants, too. And now, every Wednesday through June is discount day. Get 10% off any regular priced item. So come see what's new at Green Thumb Nursery and Greenhouses on Nowata Road, Bartlesville's largest selection of quality plants and more. Open Monday through Saturday, 9 to 5, noon to 5, Sunday.
Don't miss the big sale during the Drive-In Summer Trade-In event at Roman Chevrolet Buick in Independence. Through Monday, Roman's is offering more than Black Book trade-in value for your current vehicle. When you upgrade to a new Chevy or Buick, you can enjoy incredible savings and financing options, like the 2020 Chevy Blazer, reduced by over $8,000. Save more than $12,000 on a 2020 Buick Envision. And a new Chevy Silverado is just $338 a month. Drive new this summer and keep your cash when you buy from Roman Chevrolet Buick, 2313 West Main in Independence.
Back with another Free Market Minute. I'm John Tidwell. Last week, we sat down with Governor Kevin Stitt and asked his thoughts on State Question 802. We asked the governor if he was supporting a plan to put Medicaid into our state's constitution and how he plans to vote.
State Question 802 is not good for Oklahoma. I'm going to be voting no on State Question 802.
Stitt also cites concerns over next year's budget shortfall.
You know, this is going to cost our state $200 million, okay? The only way to get that, we have a $1 billion shortfall next year. The only way to get $200 million is either to raise taxes or to cut services somewhere else, like education or our first responders or roads and bridges.
Stitt believes to fund State Question 802, the legislature could have to cut core services or possibly even tax hikes.
As governor, I'm not going to raise taxes on Oklahomans. And so then you're looking at having to cut other services. That's not good for Oklahoma.
For more information, visit VoteNo802.com. Authorized and paid for by VoteNo on 802 Association, 3307 South Harvard Avenue, Tulsa, Oklahoma, 74135, 405-638-4557.
Is that how fast your truck goes, Larry? 99 miles per hour?
I don't know.
You haven't gone that fast in it for
on a
while.
On a good day, I'll get up above 40.
How long you had that truck?
22 years.
There you go.
And it was 15 years old when I got it.
This is the Green Country Gardener Program. I'm Tom Davis. He's Larry Glass. And your phone calls are welcome at 1-800-749-5936.
Anyway, the grass should be fairly tall. I've got my grass set on the max right now.
Mm-hmm.
And it stays fairly. I don't have an irrigation system, probably because you couldn't get it in for the rock. I've tried digging holes. You can't get anything in for the rock in my house. The trees are just kind of dancing on top of the rock.
But you got like a mile-long, deep limestone there underneath your home?
I don't know, but it's good at attracting lightning, too. We've been hit so many times.
Wow. You got a lawnmower hit, didn't you, or a grill hit?
My grill, yeah. And the air conditioner, the garage door opener, it hit everything but the satellite dish.
It's next.
So we've got those backup things in the house all over the place.
Oh, boy.
So our stuff doesn't get messed up. But anyway, lawns. typically, you put down about 1 inch of rain, of water per week.
Okay.
Now, if you have 5,000 square feet of water, of area to water, you need 3,100 gallons of water to do that in a week, and that can kind of pile up. So you really don't want to. You want to make sure you don't water too much, and you don't want to just kind of unconsciously water it Monday, Wednesday, and Friday. Wednesday, and Friday. You want to set out some, and don't set them in one place. Set a series of cups. Or a tuna cans, or if you have a cat, some cat food cans, you know, around there. And run the sprinkler system for 20 minutes and see how much water is in the average of all those cups. And then take the time you did that, and then you multiply that. If it's a half an inch and you did it for 20 minutes, you need 40 minutes of irrigation per week in that area.
There you go.
To get that 1 inch of rain. So typically the lawns require an inch of rain. So any more than that is kind of a waste, really, and it just runs down. I saw a sprinkler system going yesterday, and water just gushing down the gutter. And they're running it way, way, way too long because the ground can only absorb with our clay.
Yeah, so much
water
so
at a certain rate of speed. And then after it gets to the point of saturation, it runs off.
At least it had enough. That's
it. And then so you need to be observant and try to be efficient with your water because it is expensive. And it is, it's the water we drink and bathe with also. So it is a little bit of a precious commodity, if you will. So you want to use it as wisely as possible. So you turn on the irrigation system and see how long it takes before you get to the runoff point. Okay, and once you get to that point, that's the maximum amount of time you can run that particular circuit on that given area. Otherwise, you're just throwing water down the street.
Don't want to do that.
So so typically, 1 inch is enough. And like I said,
be efficient. Work smarter, not harder.
3,100 gallons in 5,000. That's a typical front yard. It's about 5,000 feet. Mm-hmm. So if you do that three times a week, that's 9,300 gallons of water per week. And then you multiply that by four. That's a lot of water in a month.
Carry the two.
Yeah, you know, all that stuff. Yeah. So, so try to keep it down to about an inch a week.
Uh-huh.
The most of your sprinkler systems are very efficient. You have what we call rain sensors, which will shut it off. Mm-hmm. And this one thing we're putting in now on our sprinkler systems, and people really like it, are net-based timers.
Yeah.
You enter criteria. You don't enter time. Criteria meaning soil type. Is it clay, sand, whatever? And what kind of sprinkler head do you have? And if it's a rotary head, you know, it'll kind of figure inches per hour on that. If it's a spray head, they figure the same on that. What kind of sprinkler head do you have in that area? There are two types. There's the spray head, which waters at a fairly high rate of speed, and rotary heads, or people call them impact or gear-driven rotaries, but anyway, they shoot a long distance out and water you half your yard at a time, some of them. And then those apply water at a different rate of precipitation. Then you enter the slope on there, and then you enter the current percentage of moisture in the water. It's kind of a hunch, if you will, on that. Is it 50% wet, 20%? Is it kind of dry, you know, at 10%, whatever? You enter all of those factors in, and then it takes information from the National Weather Service, algorithms from that, and it blends all this stuff together and into a formula, and it just waters. Instead of using time, it uses actuality to irrigate.
So you got a smart sprayer.
It's a smart
sprinkler. Yeah.
Smart sprinkler.
Yeah.
So, and people have a hard time fathoming that. I had a hard time at first understanding that. How does this work? It doesn't use time, it uses conditions to water.
Well, it sounds pretty darn efficient.
Another thing you can do is just run it manually, too, if you want. Yeah, you can just run it.
Take your arm.
You can use
tired.
It as a timer, too, if you're not satisfied with that work. And the beauty of it is you can do your checkups on your sprinkler system, which you should do, just to make sure it's running and not broken here and there. You pull up the app on your telephone, and you can tell each individual areas when to go, so you don't have to go in the garage, outside, in the garage, outside, and so on. And it's easier to tell what's going on with your sprinkler system that way. So makes it easier for the installer, too, to check up on stuff. Because I've got several people's yards on my phone here.
Wow. All you have to do is take a quick look.
Pull up their timer. Yeah. They can call me on the phone. Larry, I'm having troubles. And I said, well, let me turn it on.
Pink.
How did you do that? So anyway, so that's kind of
magic powers.
It's kind of too cool. I can look at your timing and all that on it and see how it's going. So that's kind of the new wave in irrigation. Mm-hmm. But really being aware of the conditions is really important. The moisture content, the condition of the grass, what does your grass look like? Are your plants wilting in between waterings and so on? And that'll kind of tell you how well it's working, too. So anyway, getting back to lawns.
So as long as you give it the proper information, it's going to give you the proper watering.
Proper amount of water. And I tried that at my house, and I said, okay, this is a drip zone, in so many hours. I've never had to set any time. All the plants look just fine. We're not using an excessive amount of water. because it gets just to the point where it's a little bit dry before it waters again.
Ah, gives it a chance to maximize
your water efficiency too. Yeah. So it's worked for me. I haven't set the time on that thing in 2 years, and it does just fine. And when it rains, it just shuts off. When it gets cold, it just shuts off.
I can't tell you how many times I've seen the sprinklers going in a
in the rain. So, yeah, that's fun.
Oh, gosh.
So we've got a caller?
Here in a moment, we will.
So anyway, you want about a couple inches on your Bermuda grass, 3 inches or so on your fescue.
Yeah.
It's very important that the fescue, it's a cool season grass.
Yeah.
It's very important that you leave the leaf surface exposed as long as possible so it can have a chance to cool itself off.
All right, let's go to the telephones here. And good morning and welcome. Do you have a question or a comment?
I have a question for Mr. Larry, as usual.
All righty.
Here's the deal. I had two apple trees, and I had them about, we'll say, 60 foot apart.
Uh-huh.
Last year, the red apple tree, it just got completely loaded, and then it died. And I think it definitely ended up with too much rain at that time, and probably...
That would be a good sermonization, yes.
So then I done away with that apple tree. Now my Golden Delicious is out in the yard. I only put on one apple.
Yeah.
Is it because it didn't have a pollinator?
Right. That could be the reason why. Also, we had a bit of a freeze when they were in bloom, too. I had maybe 6 plums on my plum tree this year.
Yeah.
So there was a bit of a problem with the weather this spring, and I think that might have been one of the reasons why you're having troubles. And also, we had a hailstorm. I don't know if you had it at your house, but at my house. And,
no, we didn't have enough that, in fact, I didn't even see that many blooms, so maybe a year.
Yeah, after that hailstorm, my yard was covered in baby plums. So, but anyway, another thing.
What does it take for a pollinator for them? Another apple tree always?
Typically another apple tree would be needed of whatever the recommended variety is for that. You might want to consider getting one.
Okay, I don't really have room to plant it again, but I guess I will because that other tree's got, it's about 30 foot tall now.
Oh, okay.
And well, it was a dwarf.
Well, that's dwarf for apple.
I've been cutting the top out of it every year, but it just doesn't want to be a dwarf.
Yeah. But, yeah, everybody that I've contacted with is having difficulty with the fruit trees this year. So it's more likely probably weather-related than anything. And there weren't very many bees around, too, and it got cold when they were open. So it's just a bad set of circumstances.
So what would cause the tomato plants to curl up real bad on the top side?
That's either aphids or mites or leaf curl.
Okay, now can you use what am I trying to think of? That spray that you put on fruit trees and stuff.
I think so. You want to watch the toxicity levels of it, though. So, in other words,
I'm talking about that stuff that smells like orange.
Oh yeah.
Yeah,
you can do that. Be careful what time of day it's applied. Also. Mm-hmm. You want to do it in the cool of the day. So one should do okay. Let it evaporate before the sun hits on it.
Yeah, I usually try to do it the last thing in the evening when I do it.
Yeah, that'll work just fine.
But I can use that on the tomatoes. Mm-hmm.
I think so. I don't know exactly what the formulation is of that, but it's a citrus combination?
Oh, it's a common name. Why can't I think of it? We talked about it. Let me go ahead and look at that. Neem.
Oh, neem. Oh, yeah, neem oil. Oh, you could take a bath in neem oil.
Well, that's what I thought. So it wouldn't hurt as far as the pollinators on my tomatoes or anything.
It shouldn't. No, you want to be careful not to get it on the flowers, though. It could.
How would you spray it and not get it on? On the houseplant flowers.
On the tomato flowers.
Well, it'd be impossible to spray that and not get it on the flowers.
I see. So yeah, because neem oil. If you choose it early in the morning, maybe when the flowers are closed up. You want to protect those stamens from being coated by the neem oil. It could cause some pollination problems.
Okay, I'm glad I asked you.
Yeah.
I'll be careful about that. All right, Larry, thank you.
All right, thanks for calling.
All right, we're going to take a quick break here, and we'll be back with more of the Green Country Gardener Program in just a moment after this two-minute timeout.
In 1939, James Farley, the former chairman of the Democratic National Committee and Franklin Roosevelt's Postmaster General, traveled to Bartlesville, Oklahoma to meet with Frank Phillips. This was a special meeting, and for Frank, a bit different. As Farley did not come to visit about oil or banking, he had another purpose. He came to Bartlesville to try to convince Mr. Phillips to buy the New York Yankees baseball team. The former owner had died in 1939, and Farley and others felt that Frank had the resources necessary to buy the ball club. Already a wonderful dynasty with such greats as Babe Ruth and Lou Gehrig leading the way, the Yankees were known worldwide and would certainly provide great personal and professional exposure to Frank and to Phillips Petroleum. After much consideration, Frank decided not to buy the Yankees, and despite their continued success, he never regretted that decision. As he told his friends, "I just couldn't buy them. I've always been a National League man." Come enjoy the magic of Willow Rock, and welcome home to Willow Rock.
Howdy, y'all. This is Clay Cooper from the Clay Cooper Theater in Branson, Missouri. And I'd like to invite you to come see us and our all-new show. We have 24 incredible entertainers. Dancing, comedy, live band, old country, new country, rock and roll, gospel, patriotic, and some new faces as well. There's something for everyone. Clay Cooper's Country Express at the Clay Cooper Theater in Branson. For tickets, call 417-332-2529.
68 million Americans are putting their family's financial future at risk by not having enough life insurance. David Woods, president of the Life Foundation.
If something happens to the breadwinner, who's going to pay the mortgage? Who's going to send the kids to college? Who's going to buy the clothes, put food on the table? The consequences can be devastating if you don't have life insurance.
Life insurance costs are at their lowest point ever.
Life insurance isn't a luxury, it's a necessity.
A message from the nonprofit Life Foundation.
Good morning and welcome back to the Green Country Gardener Program. It is 8:57, about 3 minutes left to go in the show or so. And Larry Glass, what we got?
Yeah, also on lawns, we were talking about lawns and mow height, about 2 or 3 inches on zoysia grass as well. You want to make sure the blade is really sharp on that zoysia. It tends to be a little stringier, and the tips tend to get a little bit more ragged if your blade is dull.
You can't have a dull blade.
No, not with that. So, we got a caller?
We will here in a second.
All right.
All right.
Second's over.
There we go.
Okay. Put them on.
Well, sometimes when they call in on the line, they channel through something else.
Anyway, crabgrass is a problem. I was at somebody's house the other day, and their yard looked a little rough, and they said, "Well, what? This grass looks really nice over here. What kind of grass is that?"
"What kind?"
I said, "That's crabgrass."
"Oh, my, no."
You would not believe the look on their face. I said, "Yeah, this is a really nice stand of crabgrass you have here." So, like one of those, "Oh, my God," moments, you know.
"Oh, my gosh."
Yes, one of the neighbors don't like this. But anyway, so you want to continue fertilizing your Bermuda grass and your zoysia grass right now.
Mm-hmm.
And a live application of fertilizer in the summertime just to maintain its color and its vigor. And maybe a little bit of crabgrass. If you did put down some crabgrass control, which I did in my yard, I still have just maybe a handful of them. I think I'll go out tomorrow morning early and
pull them out.
Pull them out, yeah.
Best way to do it.
Yeah,
they won't come back that
way.
Because
there's not enough to get out the quinclorac, you know, the battery of chemicals. There's just not enough of that.
Yeah.
So you can tolerate a few weeds here and there. That's not that big a deal. But anyway, so on that, let's kind of deal with grass. If you have new grass, be very cautious about weed spraying, especially with zoysia. We planted a few zoysia lawns this year. And I tell people, do not use herbicides on this for 1 year.
No.
No. Typically, the zoysia grass is dense enough you don't have a problem with weeds.
Yeah.
So anyway, don't rain. If rain occurs 48 hours later on some of these herbicides, be very careful to look at the instructions on it and how they're applied, how much to use them. Don't overapply. I see a lot of lawns where the herbicides have been overapplied, and it causes a weakness of the grass.
It does.
And they say, well, it's just temporary. But in some cases, it's been, you know, a month.
Mm.
Come on, people. So be careful about the concentration you put on there, too. Of the herbicides, especially quinclorac. It can cause some problems. Okay?
Well, till next week, what do we do?
Oh, golly. Keep your shovels sharp. We're out of time.
Dignity, compassion, excellence.
Stump Funeral Home and Crematory, Bartlesville, Nowata, Barnstall.
This is KWON Bartlesville, K227CQ Bartlesville.
This is CBS News on the Hour, your home for original reporting.